Scale me up, Scotty. Calculate, got me up late. Gotta make another tray for Sunday. Ay, can't wait, not enough bait. Frost on my opponents, gonna call cupcakes. And it's no hate, just facts. There's just no way I'm last. Technically, I'm last. 101 pick, I'm bad. Bad at the bone, ain't mad at the dome. Ain't rather than know the anatomy. Know a value of roses, dandy to know the man. JPAZ, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. I am your host, John Paul Hurley. We're back, and I think we're going to be consistent now heading into the football season because we have to be. You know, this is going to be your central location for Dynasty football answers throughout the course of the season. We're going to cover as many relevant topics as we possibly can going forward. You can't go through your season without the DTC podcast. It's almost like going to the bathroom, number two, without your phone, which would be like unfathomable, right,
Izzy? That'd be weird.
Joining me this week is my fabulous co-host, Izzy, the Pharaoh Fantasy, Elkafoss, the third. Is it possible that there's been two before you with the exact same name?
No. I'm going to say that I'm the only Izzy Elkafoss that's ever existed.
Ever existed, wow. Throughout the entire course of time.
I'm not, I'm no historian, but I try to know a little bit about my ancestors.
Yeah. Well, I am a little bit of a historian, and the little bit comes from the last week. So I've gone back the last week to find out what players are the most searched players in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database. And then I've gone into, we've got a new piece of technology on our website. It's relatively new, I would say. I can still call it new because it's within like 3 or 4 months. But it's a technology called the Dynasty Trade Wire. And you can actually punch in a player and find out most recent trades that have been made with this player over the last few weeks. You can look at league information accordingly and stuff too. It's pretty sweet. Right as I started talking about this, the lawnmowers next door neighbor had their lawnmower service come over. So there might be some noises. Mosier, our fabulous producer, will be able to edit all this out. But anyway, it's a piece of technology that enables you to evaluate recent trades from each of these players. So it's pretty cool. So Izzy and I are going to cover some of these players and assets. I'm gonna put that caveat in there because we got something different this week. And maybe should I? I'm just going to start from the top because it's more compelling for me to do this. But so looking at the Dynasty Trade Calculator database, the most selected piece of like asset inside the calculator has been 2021 first round draft picks. And it's like a complete monopoly. There are no players until about 5 or 6 selections down. Everybody is wondering about the values of future draft picks, which is kind of rare. Usually that doesn't start happening until early to mid season when you've decided if you're checking out. People start to put in a little bit of research on what they want to do with the future of their team and stuff. But everybody is flooding to the calculator to find out what the value of 2021 picks are. And Izzy, I actually called you about this last week because I was analyzing a trade that was offered to me, and I was trying to decide if I want to flip my 2021 draft picks for win now pieces, because with all of the questions surrounding the college football season, like big name college players that are opting out of the season, how do you evaluate a 2021 rookie draft pick now? Does it lose value? Does it gain value? Has it stayed the same with all this news happening? So Izzy, that's what I'm going to turn over to you. How do you value these 2021 picks and give some people some clarity on their curiosity? Well,
it doesn't change the value of it right now because nobody's really thinking that far ahead. But when we talk about how will it change in value as we get closer and closer to drafting these 2021 picks, and right now what we're going to see is I think there's going to be an increase to the player values or to the pick values greater than we've seen in past. The insulation, I think, will be a lot greater for the picks than they have in the past because a lot of these guys will either, you know, play fewer games, they'll be able to, or they won't be playing at all. There won't be as much riding on the season. I think players will have better statistical outputs, the ones that are actually playing, less games, less time to get hurt. So I think when I say statistical, I don't think total. I'm thinking just impact on a game-to-game basis. I think it won't mean as much this year than it has in the past. I'm not chasing a national championship, so I don't know if teams are going to be, you know, as competitive on a week-to-week basis. That's kind of how it seems like in my head. And then the players that aren't playing, all you're going to hear about is how all you're going to see is hype videos. So there won't be any, you know, game film to nitpick, because a lot of players do so well over the course of 2 to 3 years, and then people get bored of those players and they start to nitpick some of their qualities that don't you know, show as elite on tape or in the metrics and so on and so forth. But now you're going to get the guys that aren't playing, and all they're going to be doing is working out for the combine. So they're probably going to blow the combine out of the water. They're going to get the Instagram videos that hype them up, running like a 5-yard out and catching a normal pass. And then people on Twitter are going to start pulling out the jergens. So it's like, we're going to have a lot of that in 2021, and nothing to really take away from the players' values and the expectations. So I think it's going to be even greater for the 2021 picks.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's going to be something that'll be in flux for the regular season, and it'll be really fun to watch. I know some of the big names that opted out. This is older news, but August 4th, Rashad Bateman opted out. And then we had Rondale Moore. A lot of people believe that these guys have already proved what they've set out to prove in their college careers. And I agree with you. I think that they're going to spend the offseason and their season basically making themselves invincible in the combine, just to maybe improve their draft stock, since they're not going to have a regular season. But I think I agree with you that the 2021 draft picks probably won't change. If anything, they might get a tick up. But what do you think this means for college football players as they go into their rookie seasons? Do you think this could be a detriment to them as they go into their rookie season, or what do you believe?
I think these guys have played enough football, and they're going to have, instead of working out with their teams, they're going to be working out with individual coaches at their position. And they're going to be doing it on a one-on-one basis.
Mm-hmm.
So before, you have, you know, a player X, let's call it Rondale Moore because he left Purdue. He's with a receiver coach that's a receiver coach for 4, 5, 6 other guys, 7 other guys on the team. And Purdue receiver coach isn't likely an elite receiver coach. I mean, relative to like the general population, sure. But
sure,
when you're talking about it relative to all the receiver coaches out there that do it professionally, likely not the best candidate. It's almost like a classroom. You go and you're in a classroom of 30, your student is going to learn less and develop slower than somebody that's in a private classroom with 5 or 6 students. And the same thing could be done here when you're talking about 6 guys working with one coach versus a one-on-one situation. And a lot of these guys are going to be working with receiver coaches that have reputations of being really successful, and they're going to be doing a lot of one-on-one work with them.
Yeah, and like you said, the quality of the teacher in your classroom.
Example. Yeah, so I think they're going to be further along, technically, and I think the only thing that'll slow them I don't know how much sitting out a season is really going to affect, you know, how quickly players are able to relearn a playbook. I don't think they lose the ability. I don't know how much detriment that actually is, because that's really the next step. Once they learn the technical side, can they learn the playbook and, you know, the nuances of the offense?
Yeah.
I don't think a year off, they'll be able to lose that ability to do that. So I'm not worried about that,
okay,
especially if there's regular training camps and everything else like there has been in the past outside of the COVID,
19.
What is it? COVID training camps. Yeah, COVID-19 training camps, whatever. So, yeah, I'm not worried about that at all.
Okay, so the million-dollar question. So now we've talked about the perceived value of 2021 rookie picks throughout the course of the season and maybe next offseason. And we've talked about expectation for rookie players in the 2021 season also. Now, what are you doing with your 2021 draft picks? Are you working to acquire some? Like, what do you think that people are doing or should be doing?
I think you always should be acquiring future draft.
But what about, like, is this any exception to any previous year? Is there any different things that you're doing?
No, I think this year, like we had talked about, I think this year is safer than most years.
Okay.
Less games, less time to get hurt, less competition, less on the line. I think defenses just naturally, subconsciously, you don't work as hard if there's really nothing at the end of the rope. So I think I think all of these players are going to get elevated as long as they don't get hurt, and there's less time for them to get hurt.
Wow.
So yeah, I think you should be scooping up 2021 first, because this is the perfect time to do it. We always talk about when the perfect time to scoop up 2021 first, and it's sometime between, historically it's been when OTAs and training camps happen, because that's when the hype begins.
Yeah.
And then you can get those 2021 first at a discount. So yeah, you should be acquiring them. And then once you get into like November, that's when the 2021 firsts start to become more expensive, because now the teams that thought they were good and everybody knew they weren't are starting to realize that they aren't very good, and those picks are going to be harder to acquire.
That's so good. And you're right. And maybe the reason that people are searching for 2021 first in the calculator so much is because there is a lot of doubt around how to value them. And maybe you can capitalize, take advantage of some of that confusion and make some offers and get them a little bit cheaper than you normally would in previous years. So I like that strategy. And now is the time to do it, right? Get on there now before those teams start losing a couple weeks and decide to ditch the season. So
here's how I look at the season too. I'm pretty sure that the season will finish, right? I don't think we'll have an issue where they have to cancel the NFL season due to an outbreak. I mean, I think they're so far committed to having a season, and the fact that they're talking about fans, it would take quite a bit for these stubborn, you know, Goodell and the rest of the crew to actually cancel the season. So, but let's just say we can all agree that 2021 is going to have a far more luck factor than seasons before, because now we have to worry about the COVID list and the time that they have to sit out.
Mm-hmm.
So getting your best player, having your best players catch COVID during the playoffs, you could have the best regular season and be absolutely dominant and then lose because you have a couple players. Let's say you got a stack of Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, right? And they are hit on the COVID list.
Or just Mahomes is all you need to bring Tyreek down.
Yeah. But yeah, it's true. You're likely not winning the championship, even though you had the best team. So my advice to anybody is, if you're not an elite, like a stiff contender in 2020, if you don't think you're a top three team, not a top six team, if you don't think you're a top three team, you should be building for 2021.
Wow.
For me, it's all about the odds and the risk and so on and so forth. It's just, it's not worth going all in on 2020 if you're a middle of the pack team.
Mm-hmm.
Just focus on 2021, sell those aging veterans that if you can get a 2021 first for them, or even 2021 second in some situations, and focus on building a contender, a strong contender for 2021. Take that opportunity.
Yeah. Makes sense. But that's good. I think that's a pretty good spot to stop on the 2021 rookie pick phenomenon, I would call it. And the next most searched player in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database was Jonathan Taylor. And he's actually been a really interesting one to watch. Obviously, he had plenty of hype coming out of college, and he was pretty heavily regarded as the 101. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire has changed that landscape considerably over the throughout the course of the offseason. But Jonathan Taylor has spiked back up recently, and there's been a lot of... I'll just give you a really quick example of my experience. I had somebody that hypothetically offered me... I don't remember this trade anymore. It was...
It was Mixon and a first for Jonathan
Taylor. Mixon and a late first and a 14-team super flex for Jonathan Taylor. And it was, again, it was hypothetical. It wasn't on the table. But that kind of opened up my eyes. It's like Mixon probably should be valued higher than Jonathan Taylor straight up, but like the perceived value of Jonathan Taylor has skyrocketed recently. In fact, here's a trade in the Dynasty Trade Wire. It's Dalvin Cook, and this year is 211 for Jonathan Taylor in the 305. And Dalvin Cook should be worth more than Jonathan Taylor by himself, let alone moving up in the draft. So Izzy, this was 45.8 to 36.6 in favor of Dalvin Cook, but I mean, what do you do here?
I get it. It's hard. Like, even a guy like me that is very, I'm level-headed. Let's put it that way. I'm level-headed when it comes to trades. So Dalvin Cook is produced. We know what he is. We know he's elite. And we don't know that about Jonathan Taylor. So why would you ever trade Jonathan, or why would you ever trade Dalvin Cook for Jonathan Taylor? Because you hope Jonathan Taylor is Dalvin Cook. Now, of course, you have to include some other things with the contract situation and Dalvin Cook's injury history. So that has a lot to do with it. But the smart money is on Dalvin Cook. However, I don't think I would trade Jonathan Taylor for Dalvin Cook either.
Yeah, like if I had Jonathan Taylor, because you worked to get that pick on your team, or you had a rotten season and you suffered through it. Now you have him on your team, the guy you've been trying to get, you know?
The way I look at it is, you have more than 1 week to move Jonathan Taylor at what his current value is.
Okay. That's true, because people probably understand that he's not going to come out of the gates, like, you know, tearing up, you know, the work share, you know, over Marlon Mack, right?
Yeah, I mean, he might not, but we get a glimpse,
yep,
right? And his value won't change too much after 1 week. So you get to free roll 1 week of seeing Jonathan Taylor. And I think you can do a lot with that 1 week. You can see what the workload is. You can see how he performs. If he goes gangbusters, he's going to be valued even more than what he currently is. And if he splits the work with Marlon Mack and has a decent game, his value is not going to change all that much.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I don't hate the idea. I wouldn't do it. I don't hate the idea of doing it. I just hate the idea of doing it right now because you don't have to.
Right.
You can get that free week, bag that free week and see what happens, and then go from there.
I agree.
Because I don't think that offer comes off the table, because unless Dalvin Cook goes absolutely crazy. But I don't know. I'm holding Jonathan Taylor. I'm holding Clyde. I want to see the first week or two, and then I want to make my decision from there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But the Mixon one, if somebody offers me Taylor and a first, or Mixon and a first for Taylor, I got to take the Mixon on the first side.
How about Mixon for Taylor?
I'd rather have Taylor.
Okay. What about Mixon in a second for Taylor?
That's when it gets kind of hard. I mean, if it's a late second, I'm probably holding on to Taylor. Like I said, with Mixon and Dalvin, we know what they are. Their value isn't going to change all that much. So we have that in our back pocket. With Jonathan Taylor, I don't think his value is going to change all that much if he has a subpar game, but it will change if he has a great game. So I'm not saying I don't want to do it now, or I don't want to do it at all. I just don't want to do it right now.
Yeah.
So like, I like Mixon a lot. I have him. I was scooping up shares when he was struggling. So I like Mixon a lot, and I think he'll have a great season. But I'm looking at pure upside of value, and people love rookie players, especially when they go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm holding on to Jonathan Taylor. Unless I get an offer that I have to take, that I think, because the Mixon in a first for Jonathan Taylor, if Jonathan Taylor has a great game and Mixon has a solid game, not even a great game, just a solid game, Jonathan Taylor's value is going to be Mixon in a first for Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah,
so
true.
I'm buying into perceived great Jonathan Taylor start to the season.
Sure.
And I don't have to, like, so I, like, I'm getting that anyway, so I might as well take it because that's what I'm trying to get later. But when you talk about Mixon straight up, it's just like, I can get more.
If he goes 102 his first week, it's going to be Mixon and a first to buy him, as long as Mixon doesn't blow up.
Correct.
Yeah. I agree with that. That's a good way to look at it. That'll be one of the more compelling ones to watch this season, I feel like. So I'm really curious to see how that pans out. But and by the way, not that it impacts this trade discussion directly, but I'm curious, who do you have between Mixon and Cook?
You know me. I mean, I've never been a big... I like Dalvin Cook. I just don't trust Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
So it's Mixon for me.
Okay. Yeah, because I think they're probably pretty close.
I think he's great. I think Cook and Mixon, as pure talent, I think they're very similar. But Mixon doesn't get... And Cook has a better offensive situation than Mixon does.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of offensive line play and just the offense way that they've been utilized so far. But I like Mixon's durability and just the fact that his offense, the young offense, has so much more allure to it than the Cook one. So I'm taking Mixon over Cook.
So if you had Cook on your roster, would you flip him for Mixon straight up, or would you try to get a little bit of sugar?
I try to get a little bit of sugar, but I like the concept of trading Cook for Mixon.
Okay. I like that. Cool.
Like at the running back position, if they're both elite, I want the more durable of the two options.
Right. Makes sense. I like that. Okay, so the final player of the podcast that we're going to talk about, he is the spicy chicken nugget of the week. So our producer before the podcast had started informed us that McDonald's is bringing, I shouldn't say bringing back, because I don't think they ever did it, but they are bringing the spicy chicken McNugget to their menu, I think at some point next month. So mark your calendars. And the spicy chicken McNugget of the week this week is DJ Chark. He has risen up the charts. People are curious what his value is. And I'm looking through the trade wire, and there are some really interesting trades that that are being thrown around out there. The first one is my favorite one. Izzy, would you rather have DJ Chark or Calvin Ridley? This is a 12-team PPR Superflex. It was a trade performed by the Masters Copper Dynasty League. And it was DJ Chark for Calvin Ridley. It's 19.5 in the calculator for DJ Chark and 20.4 for Calvin Ridley. Which side would you take on that?
I'd rather have Chark.
Okay, wow. I'd rather have Ridley.
You'd rather have Ridley? I'd rather have Chark just because Chark is the wide receiver one and Ridley's a wide receiver two. So, and Julio's not going anywhere anytime soon. Could Ridley be this year's Godwin? Maybe. But I'm taking the odds here and going, Chark is the wide receiver one, and I get it, it's a worse offense, so it's all relative. But I feel like he has more seasonal upside than Ridley does.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm going Chark.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So, and like I said, I only disagree because I like Ridley better, and I think that we might see some decline with Julio Jones.
Why?
I just think he's going to, like, at some point, he's going to start to show his age, and maybe I'm jumping the gun a little bit too early on him, but...
Okay.
I know how I felt when I... What?
You know how you felt when you were 30, 31?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. And like, I'm not a like, pro athlete, future Hall of Fame athlete. So, like, he's 31 this year. I know how I felt when I was that age playing pickup basketball. I think we were playing in our Augsburg Men's City League, or were we not?
It might have been, yeah. I don't think you have the same training regimen as Julio Jones.
I do, though. It's the same coaches.
Okay.
It's just that I was in bigger classes.
Okay, now let's think about this. Name me one super elite wide receiver that declined in physical ability and production at the age of 31.
Calvin Johnson.
He didn't. He just quit.
And I think it's because his body started to wear out on him.
No, I think he was just sick of damaging his body with no signs of ever winning. And I don't think he liked the franchise. I think the only one that you can point to is Des Bryant.
Oh, yeah.
And Des Bryant didn't have the career that Julio Jones has had. But if you look at all the top players, like Des Bryant had his time at the top. But if you look at Julio Jones's, the Calvin Johnson's, the Larry Fitzgerald's, the Randy Moss's, like all these Terrell Owens, all the guys that are first ballot Hall of Fame types. I mean, Andre Johnson probably isn't first ballot Hall of Famer, but he was fantastic for so long. These guys did not decline at 31. Like, he still has two or three solid years in him of wide receiver one production. So I don't know. Look at it this way.
How about Chad Johnson?
Putting money on, he's not first ballot Hall of Famer. Chad Johnson was really good for his time, but he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but we didn't talk about Hall of Fame when you posed the question. You said Chad Johnson was arguably an elite wide receiver.
And I shouldn't say first ballot. I should say, like, even second or third ballot. Like, Chad Johnson is a second or third.
Wait, so Chad Johnson was an elite wide receiver. Like, I think you could argue that he was elite, but
I'm talking about the beyond, like the upper echelon of the receivers that have played the game. Like, Julio Jones is one of the greatest to ever play the receiver position.
Yeah,
Chad Johnson's not in that category. Des Bryant isn't even in that category, right? I think somebody probably, when I first started this, said Hakeem Nicks. Hakeem Nicks is great, but. Well, not in that category.
You made a really small category with a really small sample size then, which is fine, but...
No, but if you think of those upper, the top
How about
20
Torrey
receivers
Holt?
Of all time, you think of the top 20 receivers, top 30 receivers of all time, how many of them declined in ability at 31 years old?
Torrey Holt.
I doubt it.
He's number 16. When he was 30, he had 1,210, 31, 1,207, and then 32, 803. He played 16 games and started in 14 of them. And then, like, he just fell off a cliff then. And then he retired after 33.
Okay, so 32 was his age when he had his decline.
I would say it was, like I expect with Julio, it was a slow and steady decline starting at 30.
Now, when was that, 2009?
So he hit 32? 30 years old in 2006, 31 in 2007, yeah.
Okay. So what was the situation in St. Louis? Was it just him being bad?
Yeah, I mean, there are variables.
All right. So just to provide some context, in 2008, his quarterback was Mark Bulger.
I was thinking Matt Leinart.
They were 2-13. Bulger threw for 2,711 in 15 games.
Not so good, Mark Bulger.
I don't even know if that's possible. So Torrey Holt's market share was 24%. No, 25. Yeah, so that'd be 25% market share. 800 of 3,200 is 25% market share.
Solid.
So relative to the team, he still had a 25% market share at 32 years old.
Yeah, and I'm acknowledging there were, targets. Yeah, I'm acknowledging there are variables.
I think if you look at the context of the team, the player himself did not decline. It was the team that was struggling. So if you think Matt Ryan and the Falcons are going to only have 3,200 yards this year, then you're probably right. Julio Jones is not going to have a monster season.
I think we can all acknowledge that the offense comparatively is better, but I mean, we don't know what the variables are going to be this season. Maybe Matt Ryan gets COVID.
So, okay, look at it this way. If the Falcons struggle in the same fashion that the Rams did in 2008, not only will Julio Jones suck, but Ridley will suck even more.
Yeah, I know. But so it's Julio really Jones not... loses a very valuable season of production.
Yeah, but you were saying that Calvin Ridley could overtake Julio Jones if Julio Jones declines. But he's not going to overtake Julio Jones if the entire offense sucks.
Yeah, that's one example. I do think that Julio Jones, similar to Calvin Johnson, I think his body is starting to kind of like show signs of wear.
Why? How?
I just think that he's a big physical wide receiver. He's very physical, and I think that like those things pay their toll throughout the course of a longer career, and I think that stuff's going to slow him down. So,
but where are you basing that information off of?
I'm trying my best to project that information. So I think that's what's going to happen this season.
Okay, yes. So when you project, you typically use previous historical information
Calvin Johnson
to help support that. Calvin Johnson retired, dude. He just
at
stopped
30,
playing.
I know. But he was getting more and more banged up, and I think that was a big factor of his retirement.
Dude, Calvin Johnson is a different situation. Calvin Johnson, if Calvin Johnson was on a winning franchise. Falcons type team, winning franchise that sniffed the Super Bowl and had success. He retired after a 1,209 season.
Yeah, he wouldn't have retired if he'd blown a 35-point lead at halftime in the Super Bowl. He would have definitely stayed.
I think so. Why would he leave?
Exactly.
Why would he leave? He just went to the Super Bowl. Why would he leave?
Yeah, he wouldn't. He definitely wouldn't. His body and the painkillers wouldn't factor.
I just think that when you're talking about Julio Jones and Calvin, you can't just assume a player is going to get hurt or decline in production without having any sort of historical data to support it. You can just say it's my hunch, but you can't just say that it's kind of like your expectation.
I kind of say it was my hunch. I mean, in a way I said that, so.
I guess in a way. It's a really, really, it's a hunch that's a shot in the dark. But yeah, so yeah, I think Chark over Ridley because of that reason. You think Ridley over Chark because the one chance that Julio is the upper echelon of receivers of all time, he's the one guy that's going to not be good at the age of 31, which is, I mean, good luck. That's how I look at it.
Well, I mean, and it's a good future play because, like we talked about, the Falcons offense, do you agree that the Falcons offense is more than likely better than the Jaguars offense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I'm just putting some stock in the fact that I think that Ridley will eventually not only now potentially be a good player through by a hunch, but I think he'll eventually be the better player in the better offense too.
Yeah, it's a stretch. I mean, Ridley has to become so much better, and Julio has to become so much worse.
Yeah. I like Chark. I like Minshew. There's nothing in that situation that wows me, you know? And I think that Ridley has the potential to wow me. Like, if he can find a way to become the wide receiver one in the next year or two, he has wow capabilities. I like the ceiling better. That's all. Well, I think we can kind of agree to disagree. They're both good. I don't think that I would judge somebody if they chose Chark ahead of Ridley, but I mean, it is what it is. It's totally fine. They're pretty close. Flip a coin in that case. I would just prefer the Ridley side. But anyway, that's all we got for this week. Thank you for tuning into the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at FF Dynasty Trades. Anytime news drops, whether we make changes to the calculator or if there's anything coming up, we'll tweet it out from there. Follow each of us on Twitter as well. At FF Hercules is my Twitter handle. You can find Izzy at DTC_IzzyE and the producer Jonathan Mosier at John_Mosier, Mosser. And just be ready for some pretty cool podcasts to be dropping in the near future here. So thank you for listening. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye. Let's go. Let's go.